In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. En dat welkom is in het bijzonder voor de oudere kijkers die misschien graag naar de kerk zouden gaan of er vandaag op uit zouden willen trekken, maar dat gaat niet. Ik hoop dat Hour of Power veel voor u betekent. Tegelijkertijd zeg ik ook, al die jonge kijkers die naar ons kijken, dat vinden we echt cool en geweldig. En ik hoop dat jullie in welke leeftijd dan ook genieten van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Bobby Schuller spreekt over lopen op het water en wat ben je dan kwetsbaar. En daar gaat het ook over, over kwetsbaarheid. En verder heeft Bobby een interview met iemand die een boek heeft geschreven over concurrentie, over rivaliteit. Wat ben je nou en wie ben je nou als je veel bezit of niks hebt? En waar gaat het nou ten diepste om? Prachtige vragen, je kwetsbaar durven opstellen. Ook Sarah Grand Prix, zij is onze bijzondere gast bij Hour of Power Nederland. Ze is topzangeres van het koor van Hour of Power. Ze was met de tournee van Bobby in Nederland en ze vertelt over haar eigen moeite, verdriet en kwetsbaarheid. Kortom, een bijzondere aflevering van Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Today is going to be a good day. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Lord,
in preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In the middle of our weaknesses, God's power reigns supreme within us. Amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the
We're so excited to have Lisa Bevere with us this morning. Lisa co-founded Messenger International with her husband, John. and can be found writing and speaking all over the world. And today she's here to talk to us about her new book, Without Rival. We're so glad to have you, Lisa Bevere. Let's welcome her. Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Why did you call the book Without Rival?
I was falling asleep, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, I do not love my children equally. And I sat up, I was like, wait, that's blasphemy. You have to love us all the same. And he said, I don't. He said, same would mean that one of you were replaceable. And equal would mean that my love could be measured. He said, I do not love my children equally. I love them uniquely. And it means sole representative of. There is nobody, nobody on the face of the earth that can represent God's love to the earth, or that God will love the way he loves you.
Yeah.
Prototype. God didn't create you to copy you. He created you as a unique expression. And then number three, without rival. And so I look at our nation right now, and I see that rivalry is robbing us. There is competitions, there are camps, there's rivalry of the races, rivalry at our campaigns. We're seeing everything dividing a nation and dividing a church that God wants to unite, because there is a blessing on us when we are one.
I find a lot of times, like for me and for other people, when you go through a trial with a competitor, an enemy, a rival, that it's easy for you to kind of get this hardening of the heart.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible tells us to guard our heart.
Yeah.
And most people confuse guarding with imprisoning. They're like, hey, I've been hurt. I'm putting my heart on lockdown.
Yeah.
Nobody is ever getting in here again.
Yeah.
This is not going to be an area that will ever be trespassed. But God isn't asking us to imprison.
Yeah.
He's asking us to guard. And our heart is treasure. And we are the gatekeepers of what we allow to come into our lives and what we allow to outflow of our lives. And so when we get hurt, of course, we want to say, oh, nobody's doing that to me again. But God wants us to allow pain to drive us into his presence. You know, yes, Goliath was this giant that gave David position, but Saul was the one who made him a king. And what we do is we
say that one more time.
Yeah, Goliath gave David position and prominence, but Saul is the one who made him a king. And so our rivals will actually end up, if we allow them, to drive out those wounded places in our life so that we get the healing in the presence of God. Because here's the truth. I don't find who I am in social media. Mm-hmm. I don't find who I am in the company of people. I find out who I am in the presence of God.
Yeah,
and my Creator is the only one that has the right to identify me. And so when I go before God and I say, God, they're saying this, 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 and this about me, he says, listen, I'm going to call you by name, and I'm going to tell you who you really are. And that's what David found in the wilderness. He found out who God was.
Well, Lisa Bevere, thank you so much. And I, you know, I totally endorse this philosophy, the idea that we lack completely the strength to be who God called us to be if our identity is not rooted in his love.
Yeah.
And that's really the message of your book. It is an awesome book. And I want to recommend anybody who's watching, check it out, Without Rival. Thank you, Lisa, so much. And we're so grateful you had the time to be here.
Thanks
for all you do. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
En dat was het koor van Hour of Power met die prachtige stemmen. En ergens in dat koor zag je ook de gast staan die ik nu mag interviewen. Dat vind ik een groot voorrecht. En haar naam is Sarah Grand Prix. Zij is artistiek leider van het kinderkoor Voices of Hope van Hour of Power en solozangeres. En ze heeft een bewogen carrière achter de rug. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
So happy to have you here. Yes.
Thank you so much for having
me. You have an incredible voice. You sing Beethoven, Haydn, Mozart, Handel.
Yes.
But you also sing musicals.
I do, yes.
What a variety.
It is. It's wonderful.
What is better, Beethoven or ice cream in a musical?
They're just completely different. I couldn't choose between the two. It depends. I suppose it depends on the mood of the audience, the mood of the
performance. Okay. What's your favorite musical?
I love Les Mis. When I was 11, that was my absolute favorite musical. I would sit with the CD and go through the music and the lyrics and memorize all the parts, everyone's character. I love that show.
Les Miserables. Uh-huh. Les Mis, that is.
Les Mis.
Yeah. So what would you like to sing for us from Les Mis?
Oh, I could sing on my own a little bit.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Here we go.
On my own, pretending he's beside me, all alone I walk with him till morning.
When you sing that, I think about your past, because you have been betrayed and you've gone through a very hard time. Are you willing to share with us, or is it too much?
Yeah, I'll share about that. I think it's important to say that when I started working for the Crystal Cathedral Choir for Hour of Power, I was invited to come and audition for Don Newen, and I thought that this would be an opportunity for me as a stopping off point in my career. I thought that I would come into the choir and sing with the choir for maybe a year. And then after the year was over, I would move on to something else. I had a couple of professional ideas for myself. And I would call myself a recovering perfectionist. I think many performers are very, very strict and very critical of themselves. And I'm a great planner. So I had these amazing plans for my life. And my story is that during my time at the Hour of Power Choir, I was experiencing a couple of failures. I had a professional failure, and then
you
a personal.
You said it's easy. What is a professional failure?
Auditioning for a program, getting really close to getting into the program, and then not being accepted into it.
Hard.
Expecting it to happen, and working so hard, working for a year to be able to be accepted into it. It's very, very hard to experience failure at a professional level when you've worked so hard for something and you feel like it's something that you would be great at, something you'd be great for. And during that same time, I was in a relationship that at the time I really believed this was the relationship that was going to last for the rest of my life. And I put so much...
Why did you think that?
Why did I think that?
Yeah.
I was in love. I was in love, and I felt like this person was my person. And I thought this is going to last me for the rest of my life. And I decided that I was committing to this, and this is going to be how my life goes. And so when the relationship failed, I was blindsided.
Why did it fail?
I think it failed because it wasn't right from the beginning. I couldn't see it at the time. And
love is blind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wanted so badly to make it work that I couldn't see that it wasn't going to work. And so I think that in the long run, God, in his great mercy for me, took me out of something that wasn't good for me. So throughout this time, I was still in the choir, and I felt for the first time in my life, I felt really hopeless. I felt like I was the failure. Not that I had failed at something, but I myself was a failure. I felt like I had failed God, I'd failed myself, I'd failed this person, and I couldn't go on. I didn't know how to go on. And I had a moment where I just got on my knees and I begged God to help me. And I didn't know what I was gonna do. I felt like I wasn't able to go into my life and to continue to be who I had been. I was going to change. I knew that was going to change. And one of the things that struck me right from the beginning was that I had choices to make. I could choose to leave the choir. I could choose to push through the pain and the suffering and show up anyway. I got on the phone with Don Newen, and he told me that I was a good person and that God had great things for me.
Is that what you want to hear from a guy you admire, the conductor of the choir?
Yeah, someone who I look up to and someone who has a relationship with me. And Don was so kind and so gracious at that time. And I feel like many other people in the choir were gentle and careful with me.
So it became a family, the family you were missing.
Yeah, and I already had a community there, but I hadn't experienced that feeling of people joining you and weeping with you when you're sad and suffering.
What is it when people weep with you from the depth of their heart?
It feels like they're saying, I feel it too. I know what you're going through. I felt what you're going through, and I feel it too, and I love you no matter what.
Yeah.
And for me, that was that spoke more than anything else could speak. At the time, I was also singing in the choir. So I would come to church in the mornings and I would sit up in the loft and cry through half the service, which was humiliating for me. I didn't want anyone to see me so vulnerable, but my pride was broken at that point. And I started listening to Bobby's messages with new ears. And I heard that message that God loves me no matter what, over and over and over again. And it's something in my heart started to change. I started to realize that it isn't what I do. It isn't what I have. It's especially not what people say about me or how people feel about me or people who reject me. It's that God loves me no matter what, that I am a child of God and that He created me just how I am. And I started to embrace my flaws, which was really difficult to do, and started to give myself grace to just be in the process of growing.
Yeah.
Suffering is really hard to do, and it's really hard to do publicly.
Yeah.
But it starts to push the pride away. And so you can start to become a more clear version of who you are, a more honest version of who you are. And I think that the season of suffering for me was my most vulnerable time, and that God was able to use that to change my heart. I started to see that I make plans without asking God to be part of my plan. I make plans and I decide that I'm going to do things. They're beautiful ideas, but if God's not in it, it's not going to work out. And He has better plans and greater ideas for my life. And to begin to trust Him with my heart, it was an incredible time for me. And those things that I had failures in, my professional aspirations, this program that I really wanted to do, this relationship that I had set my mind on, these were idols in my life. And they weren't as important as God. They needed to be under that. And I feel like God had to break that in my heart so that I could see that He has such great plans and He loves me and He wants to use me if I am willing to be used for Him.
It's quite a change, huh?
Yeah, it's quite a change. I think it's maybe maturity, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're not only singing with and in the choir, but you're also a soloist and with yeah. Cuba Times. Can I say I'm an admirer of you?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I can't help it. And also because when I'm there in Shepherd Grove, you always run up to me and so warm and inviting. So one of my favorite composers is Handel.
Uh-huh.
So You know the question already.
Yeah. You want me to sing Handel?
Yes.
I will sing, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
I know that my Redeemer liveth. It's a majestic song from Handel's Messiah. And I noticed that you were singing from the heart. What does it mean to be redeemed?
That's new for me too. That's something I never understood until last year. Really, because I feel like I knew that God could change my story. That what I felt and feeling like I was lost, that He could do something with that. He could redeem my life. and that he could take something that I saw as so negative and change it into something good for his glory. And to know that my Redeemer liveth, to feel that God is with me. He is real. He is here. He's with me. And he wants to help me. And he wants to use me if I will allow him to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you appreciate about the Dutch?
The people here are just so warm and wonderful and excited. They want to share the country with those who are visiting. So for the Hour of Power family back home, I think that my experience in the Netherlands has been nothing but lovely and warm and excited to have us here. And I'm so happy to be here. And I just think that this has been an amazing experience.
Good. You know, Luke 15, I think it's the most touching story that Jesus shares with us. The guy who came back to his father. And in a way, it's a story of our life, of your life.
Yeah.
Lost, but found.
Lost, but now I'm found. Yeah. I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to ask from you. Can you sing that song?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You have such an incredible gift and talent.
Mm-hmm.
I've invited you to stay at my home and
yes.
wake me up every morning by singing. And you said, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh,
so I have to do it in a record in the morning. Thank you once again, Sarah.
Thank you so
and
much,
you have brought so much joy and life and appreciation with your beautiful voice to the Hour of Power friends in the Netherlands.
Thank you. And
thank you once again.
Thank you so
okay.
much.
Ik werkte in 2007 werkte ik in de stichting Op de Rots in Amsterdam. En dat is een stichting, een christelijke stichting, die echt gelooft dat Jezus Christus mensen die verslaafd zijn kunnen helpen. Ik werkte daar als manager en ik zag zo'n jong meisje. En toen dacht ik, oh heer, ze is veel te jong om in zo'n situatie te zitten. En Mitzi was heel erg verslaafd aan heroïne. En op een gegeven moment zei de directeur van het huis, die zei van de meiden moeten weg. Omdat de pand waarin wij waren, was niet geschikt voor jongens en meisjes. En toen ben ik gaan bidden en zei, heer, wat wilt u dat ik voor u doe? Wat wil ik dat ik doe? Want dit meisje mag niet terug naar Zandam. Want dan gaat ze weer terug naar de oude waar ze vandaan is gekomen. We hebben al onze moeite gedaan om haar 2 weken zo af te kicken. Ze is heel moeilijk afgekikt. Kultuki op Nederwine was verschrikkelijk. Ze is heel erg ziek geweest. En toen dacht ik, oh heer, als u tegen mij zegt wat u begint, gaat u afmaken, dan wil ik het wel voor u doen. Ik kreeg zo overtuiging in mijn hart en zo de liefde van God. Ik kom weer met die liefde in mijn hart en de bewogenheid heb ik haar in huis genomen. En van de dag van toen tot nu woont ze nog steeds bij mij met haar 3 kinderen. Ja. Wat God begint, dat maakt hij af. En het is ook vaak, dat gebruik ik bijna elke dag. Als ik zie dat het moeilijk gaat met haar of met de kinderen, zeg ik, Heer, u hebt mij beloofd dat u eraan begonnen bent. En ik blijf u in geloven. Dat u het ook af gaat maken. Ik, Luisita Illes, geloof in liefde.
Wat een aangrijpend verhaal weer, wat ook eerder te zien was in Hour of Power. Met de oproep om donateur te worden, om die liefde met een hoofdletter door te geven. U hoorde het verhaal van Lucita, die zich inzette voor kinderen. Wat geweldig wat mensen allemaal doen. En dat is echt de boodschap en de oproep van Kerst. Nou, we zoeken 500 donateurs. En we hopen echt dat we voor het eind van het jaar dat we 500 donateurs mogen verwelkomen. We zitten op de ongeveer 200, dus nog 300 erbij. En als u nou denkt van, nou ja, ik zit elke week te kijken en iedere week denk ik, nou, ik wil Hour of Power wel steunen. Ik ken dat, dan wil je het en het gebeurt niet, dan zou ik zeggen, doe het nu. 035-538-0588 of via onze website www.hourofpower aanmelden, kan ook. Heel hartelijk bedankt. I have seen the light shining in the darkness, bursting through the shadows, delivering the dawn. I have seen the light, whose holy name is Jesus. His kingdom is forever. He reigns on heaven's throne. There in a manger and in a bed, shining in the darkness, bursting through the shadows, delivering the dawn. I have seen the light, whose holy name is Jesus. His kingdom is forever. He reigns on heaven's throne. I have seen the light of Jesus. I have seen the light of the world. I have seen the light of Jesus.
Welcome. We're so glad you're joining us today. And this is the Hour of Power in Shepherd's Grove. And if you are ever in this area, come down to Shepherd's Grove. We want to meet you. Friends, would you hold your hands out like this as a sign of receiving? And we're going to say this creed together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Thanks. You can be seated. We're going to talk about this passage from Paul, where he says, when I am weak, I am strong. And I love this passage because he doesn't say, when I am weak, God is strong. I'm not always encouraged when I hear God is strong. I already know that. I want to know that God's going to help me, that God's going to be there for me. And there's something powerful about this passage that Hannah read that we're going to talk about today. It says, when I am weak, I am strong. There's an understanding that when I become weak in some areas, I become much stronger, actually, in the areas that are important. And so basically today, I'm going to say two things. And the first thing is this, is that vulnerability, being honestly and openly seen, being seen deeply, is one of the best things you can do to grow into a joyful person and a powerful person. But that requires faith. The first thing I want to say is just very simply, faith is the belief that God can use imperfect people to do impossible things. I think that God likes to use imperfect people, because here's the secret. Everybody's imperfect. But the ones that you know are imperfect are at least honest. We see it through the scripture. I've seen it personally in ministry over and over, that God loves to use broken, hurting, wounded people to make a huge difference for his kingdom. He loves doing that. He is called the friend of sinners for a reason. God loves to use people who are imperfect to do impossible things. And God's going to use you. And see, we always want to disqualify ourselves. But though you may be underqualified, you're not disqualified. You never are. God is going to use you in spite of your imperfections, and sometimes because of your imperfections, to make a big difference in the lives of other people and for his kingdom. When you are weak, you are strong, because when you're vulnerable, you're actually very brave. And God uses those things to help you connect deeply with him and with others. The second thing that I'm going to really say today is a quote from my dad, and I just love this. He actually wrote a book on it. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. You've heard that? When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. That is absolutely right. Faith is the thing that says, yeah, I've got nothing left, but God's about to do something great. You live long enough, and you start to see a pattern that when I lose a bunch of stuff, it's not really death, it's pruning. That very often when these things are taken from my life, I recognize that something spiritually is happening, that God's going to do something. If you're down to nothing, God is up to something. I want you to know, no matter how deep you are down the hole, God is up to something in your life. And I want you to know, if you respond with faith, good things are going to happen. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church, and he starts talking about this thorn. And one of the things I love about Paul is very direct, sometimes brutish in his writing. But he's just him. He's just very raw. He's just like very much, this is me. This is who I am. Deal with this. Paul, as a young man, was a Pharisee and a rabbi. And so Paul came from a new culture of rabbis where everything was hedged. And it was all about not only perfection, but perfection and protecting your perfection. So it was like, you know, perfection to the law was like, honor the Sabbath. But perfection of perfection was, don't spit, just in case you might be breaking the Sabbath. So they had layers and layers of stuff they had to do. And I know people and I know religion. And can I just tell you, I know the environment Paul was in as a young man. He was an idealistic young guy. He believed the old guys actually were perfect. And then he didn't recognize that probably a lot of those guys he thought were perfect were just really good at hiding things. And can I also tell you that in this environment, legalistic environments are always soul-killing. And there's this thing that happens where you constantly feel like, I can't keep up with these other people, they're so holy. So now I need to be secret about some of these things I have in my life. I don't want to reveal these things that I have in my life, because I'll deal with it later, I'll figure it out, I'll sort it out, and that is a death spiral. And what usually happens in those types of communities is everybody's doing that. And usually people melt down. And so Paul was in this world of legalism. I have to be perfect. If you're in the kingdom of God when you do everything perfect and you're out when you mess up. He moved from that to an actual, real encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, where his life was completely transformed. And the first book Paul writes, Galatians, as a young guy, is just smothered in grace. It's just, God is so gracious, and all of my good works are just junk compared to the glory in Christ Jesus. And it just goes on and on about how awesome and amazing the love and the grace of God is for messed up, broken sinners like me, Paul. He moved from a world of perfection and management, sin management, to a world of grace. And can I just remind you, and I want to say this every time, grace doesn't mean mercy. Grace is merciful, but grace is an overflow of God's very person. It's an overflow of his love and favor for you. It's akin to, in Greek, charis is where we get Eucharist from, to be thankful. There's a sort of gratitude and joy. And can I ask you a question? And this is a real question. Do you think God is thankful for you? It's what it reads in Greek. It reads like that. Charis, grace, is like thankfulness. I think there's something akin to that in the feeling God has for his children, for you and for me. And that's very good news. Did you know when Jesus was baptized, he was experiencing God's grace? He was sinless, right? He wasn't experiencing God's mercy. He didn't need mercy. He was experiencing an overflow of God's love and power. When God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Can I tell you? That's what God says over you. You are God's beloved son. You are God's beloved daughter. And he's pleased with you. So, Paul moved in this world of grace. And so he says, I've got this thorn. I've got this thorn and it's been driving me crazy. And I pleaded with God 3 times. Take this thorn from me. And you know what God's response was? My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Real quick on this thorn thing. Theologians for a long time have, theorized about what this thorn is. It could be a sin in Paul's life, some sin he hasn't been able to defeat or whatever. It could be some kind of physical ailment. It could be a person. But everybody agrees on one thing. It's a good thing he didn't say what it was. Because all of us have thorns, you know? And he says, even though he doesn't say it in the passage, I boast about my thorn. I tell people about my thorn because in my weakness, I am made strong. He actually says, I am made strong. When I talk about my thorn, when I talk about this, whatever it is, sin or this person or the sickness or this whatever, when I talk about it, I'm made strong. He said, I delight in my weakness. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecution. For when I am weak, I am strong. And I think there's something so good about that for especially religious people. That we are done trying to prove ourselves to others. We are done hiding. We're done wearing masks. It's time to be honest and vulnerable. That we actually are human beings. That we actually do make mistakes. We actually do need help. That's a very strong thing to do. It's not a weak thing. You are enough, and you have nothing to prove. All of the riches and goodness of heaven is available to you right now by faith. I just so believe that one of the most toxic things for Christians is hiding and pretending. And that's been one of the worst things that's been damaging in our message to society, is hypocrisy, hidden people. Hypocrisy literally means actors, those who wear costumes. I didn't realize it, but, my life is, everybody's life has been hard. My life has been hard too, actually. And I know, people think, well, you had a famous grandpa. That's true. Can I tell you that doesn't make your life easier? My parents are both amazing parents. My step-parents are great step-parents. But there's something that happens to a kid with divorce and moving a lot. When I was young, I was very tenderhearted. I was bullied a lot. And when I started playing sports and I got a little bigger and a little stronger, I became the tough guy. And And when I was a kid, I felt deeply for people. I really loved people, and I would cry when I saw somebody hurting, and I would love to hug people and loved to tell just about everybody, I love you. And that was my true self. But through the woundedness and hardship of my life, I learned that it's much safer to be the warrior, to be strong, to put on armor, and to not let anybody in. And something happened to my soul that I became calloused and hardened, even into my faith with God, to the point where it was hard to feel emotionally. I remember when someone very dear to me, this is the first time I noticed my numbness, someone very close to me was on the brink of death, someone I loved dearly. And in my head, I was like, this is one of the people I'm closest to, but I don't feel anything in here. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know anything about it. 10 years ago, I met with Bill Gaultier, who was a coworker at the Crystal Cathedral, and happened to also be a licensed therapist and a pastor to pastors. And I only recognize now this was he was totally planning on doing this. But we just started hanging out and getting coffee and praying together and being pastors together. What I didn't realize for years and years, I was actually getting therapy. He tricked me into therapy. And all he was doing was teaching me to talk about the challenges of life, my stressful day, my wounds, what it felt like to have somebody insult me or disrespect me or to get my heart broken. And I remember I started talking to him intentionally about this because I've always been a little bit of an obsessive guy. When I get something I'm into, I get really into it. And at the time, there was this totally innocent hobby, and it had just completely consumed my life. And I was talking to him about this. I said, you know, all I can think about is this thing. And I feel like it's hurting my friendships and my marriage and my church. And that was sort of the beginning. So this went on of me learning to be open and honest with Bill. And he started teaching me how to do that with Hannah and with my friends. And it took years, but then it was like my emotional life, that kid that had become calloused and tough, started to come back to life. It was like, have you ever fallen asleep on your arm? And you wake up and it's just, you could like cut your arm off and it wouldn't even hurt, you know? But you start to rub it and it actually is painful at first. It tingles and then it really hurts. That's what coming to life emotionally was like for me. And it happened because I started being vulnerable, honest, and receiving empathy from people who love me. It's time that we get more vulnerable. It's time to start opening up and become more vulnerable. And then this came to a head. So I got to a place where I never cried, ever. And I started feeling my emotions again. And then, it was the week my grandma Schuler died, I went to Holland, and I was preaching to 4,000 people in a cathedral who had come from all around the country to see me. And I was having this great sermon, you know, it was so good, and it was funny, and everybody, you know, I mean, everybody was into it, you know. And I started telling the story about my grandma Schuler when she was in her 20s and was pregnant. And I pictured my sister Christina, who at the time was pregnant, and something about that image, the death of my grandma, but picturing her as a pregnant young woman, just locked me up. I completely forgot about what I was talking about, and I began to weep on stage and couldn't stop. Living in God's strength means that we move from shame to joy. Joy in the fact that some of these things, they just are what they are. And we can trust that God is going to work in them. Brené Brown, she did the study of like, how do people connect deeply? And she found that the greatest thing that keeps people from connecting deeply with one another, the greatest human need to connect with others deeply, was shame. This thing, shame, is the main thing that gets between us and connecting with God and with others. And that is the thing. Sin and shame is the main thing that Jesus came to remove from our lives. In fact, when you see Jesus on the cross, What we often don't show with Jesus on the cross is the shame. We show the woundedness, we show the pain, but Jesus was crucified naked. There was no loincloth. He was seen, he was beaten, he was treated like a pig, like an animal, and hung naked on a cross. And it's so important because the Savior of the world took our shame. He was shamed that we could receive glory and belonging with the Father. You belong. You are loved. You don't need to feel shame. Feel hope. Feel hope that whatever it is you're facing, God is going to carry you through. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't feel shame about your failures. Brene Brown said, if you could create a petri dish for shame, it would be silence, secrecy, and judgment. I think there are three movements that have to be done by faith in order that we can live in strength in the midst of our loss and weakness. So the first movement is to move from silence to honesty. You deserve respect and dignity. I believe that more than anything. Every human deserves dignity because every human being is loved by God. So it is important to move from silence to honesty, to talk about these things. Move then, too, from secrecy to openness. Allow yourself to be seen deeply. Confession is at the core of salvation. You cannot be saved unless you are honest. Confessing our sins and our flaws and our worries and our fears is at the heart of redemption and resurrection. But that takes faith, doesn't it? That I'm not going to be judged, not going to be belittled, not going to be abandoned, or not be kicked out of my church or my family. Guess what? If you are, that you weren't supposed to be there anyway. Right? Move from secrecy to openness and allow the people you love to see you deeply. And finally, move from judgment to grace and empathy. You need empathetic people in your life. You need it. People that love you, that do not judge you, that come alongside you, that defend you when you're bullied, that are on your side. I'm one of them. This church is there for you, but you need close friends who can incarnationally show you the grace and empathy of Jesus Christ. Move from judgment to grace and empathy. Friends, I want to tell you, whatever you are going through, whatever you're facing, whatever your losses are, God's got it under control. It's going to be okay. Today, you can relax and you can recognize and proclaim over your life, in my weakness, I am strong. That when I become weak in some areas, I become much stronger in other areas, and that is an opportunity for a permanent gift. God is offering you right now something amazing. If you stop being secret and you stop being silent, stop judging yourself and others, and become the kind of person who lives in the kingdom of God, a free gift of God's grace. I want to tell you, wherever you are, don't be ashamed. Don't be worried. You have nothing to prove. God has already proved it. You are loved. You're not what you do. You're not what you have. You're not what people say about you. You are loved by God. And when you live in that place, you'll have all the power in the world to do great things. And you'll have great things. And people will say great things about you. And that is true. Lord, we thank you for your love. You love us as we are, not as we should be. And you will bring us there. You love us enough to not leave us there. We trust you, Jesus. We follow you, and we believe in what you taught us. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here. I hope you guys leave feeling encouraged. Go relax today. Enjoy your day. It's a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. Make it count. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hoe kwetsbaar durf je te zijn? Ik vond het dapper van Bobby om over zijn eigen kwetsbaarheid te spreken. En ook sprak mij aan wat Sarah vertelde over haar kwetsbaarheid. En vaak hebben we een masker op en durven ons niet te laten zien. Nou, ik ken dat ook wel. Maar als je je masker afdoet en kwetsbaar durft te zijn, dan kan die ander ook verder bij je komen. Ik hoop dat deze uitzending je heeft geholpen om dat te ontdekken. Weet je, heel veel mensen zijn kwetsbaar. Dat merken wij ook aan onze hooplijn. Dat mensen bellen en zeggen, ik zit helemaal in de prak en ik kom er niet uit. En alsjeblieft, help me. En dan zijn er een groot aantal vrijwilligers die onze hooplijn bemannen. En anoniem, want we hoeven geen namen te weten, willen helpen, willen bidden, willen praten. En we zoeken, omdat er zoveel mensen bellen, nieuwe vrijwilligers. Mensen die toegewijd zijn aan anderen, die zelf kwetsbaar durven zijn en ook openstaan voor anderen. Als je wilt meewerken aan de hooplijn als vrijwilliger, want dat zijn we, vrijwilligersorganisatie grotendeels, kijk dan op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Het zou heel fijn zijn als er een aantal nieuwe hooplijnmedewerkers zouden komen. Nou, volgende week is het een hele bijzondere zondag in Shepherd Grove, want dan is het de Hollandse zondag. Je zult volgende week zien dat er met de Hollandse vlag gezwaaid wordt door bijna 100 mensen die daar in de kerk zitten en die van Nederlandse afkomst zijn. We waren er met een groep Hour of Power reizigers die 4 dagen lang achter de schermen keken bij Hour of Power. Verder Amerika hebben ontdekt, nationale parken. Het was een feest, maar het hoogtepunt was de dienst van Shepherd Grove met Bobby Schuller. Volgende week te zien. En wie er ook bij was, het is wel leuk om te vertellen, dat was Remco Harms. En hij heeft fantastisch gezongen. Nou, ik zie alweer uit naar de uitzending van volgende week. Ik hoop u en jij ook. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag toe. Hou contact met ons. Kijk op www.hourofpower.nl.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.